Lord, we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the times that we're in. Lord, I ask that you work in each one of us. If there's any idols in our life, Lord, that you'd show them to us so we could repent of them and turn loose of them and just have you as our only idol. Lord, I thank you for the walk you've set us on. It's one that requires a lot of prayer, requires a lot of word, and a lot of your grace. And Father, I praise you and I thank you for what you're doing in all of us, giving us that faith to believe that we are walking in that perfect sanctification by faith. Father, I just ask that you anoint each one of us tonight to share what it is you put on our hearts the last couple of days. And I ask, Lord, and I pray that you place it in our hearts to be praying for revival, be praying for this great awakening of this 21st century, the first great one, and probably the last. And Lord, I ask and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Set our hearts on you, Lord, that nothing else would take place before you, Lord. Humble our hearts to be your servant and to be the people's servant. That's what you want us all to be. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. Give us all wisdom. Open up our ears of understanding and our eyes of understanding. And we praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Let's see here. Let me admit these two here. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Okay. All right. Has anyone got a prayer request? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, actually, I have two requests. I was trying to take a nap, and I got two people that text me that are asking for prayer. My one is my cousin's daughter. Her name is Kyla. She's only 33 years old, and the test came back that she has cancer. I don't know how much, what kind. I don't know anything else. Her mother is a Christian, and I don't know anything about her. But, Lord, I lift up Kyla to you, and I ask that that they don't believe the bad report, that they can just do another test, and they're going to show that she doesn't have any cancer, because if there was any in there, you have healed it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of that, and that will just really show Kyla and show her mother and the whole family that you still heal. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Kyla, and I give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. And then I have another.
Amen. Hang on. Let's do some more praying for her. Did you say Tyler or Kyler?
Kyla. Kyla.
Okay.
Yeah. K-Y-L-I-A.
Okay. You don't know if she is saved or not?
Yeah, I don't know anything about her. And I know her mother is a Christian. I don't know if she has the Holy Spirit or anything like that. I know she just...
Okay. All right. I'm trying to get everybody in here too.
Lord, I just pray for you to bring forth laborers to cross her path, open her eyes to the truth, her ears to hear, and her eyes to see you, to want you, to draw near to you. Just touch her heart. I don't, like I said, like Judy says, we don't know if she knows you or even has received you. So we just pray that you'll work on her heart, that she would you would grant her repentance and she would receive you. And if this cancer is due to any unforgiveness towards anyone, that she would have a forgiving heart towards whoever she may need to forgive.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we ask that you use this to bring her closer to you, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. And once she gets close to you, Lord, we ask and we pray that you open up her eyes to what your promises say. And Lord, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus right now, I speak to that cancer and I command it to go from her. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I speak to the fear of cancer to leave her too. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you will utilize this to bring her and the family closer to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a turnaround for that family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, I got another friend. Her name is Judy, and she's a Christian. She's a pretty strong believer, and she's had a sore throat the last several weeks. She went to the doctor, and so it could be the virus, but I just told her not to believe that bad report that, she doesn't have it. So I just ask you, Lord, that I lift up Judy and that this sore throat of hers is going to be gone because she's already healed by your stripes and that it isn't the virus and she is healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for her. And she'll believe it too, because she'll know that it's you. Because she loves you and she's covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Her husband is a heart transplant person. Out of five people that had their heart had new hearts, he's the only one of the five that's still living. So I know she's, doesn't want anything to come into the home because of him and stuff. Lord, we just lift up Paul to you, we know that his heart is healed and it's strong and she doesn't have to worry about anything happening to him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for healing his heart. Thank you, Lord.
And did you say they were strong believers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they do believe in healing and all of that.
Yeah, she's a strong believer and she's a good warrior too.
Okay. All right, well, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, place it in her heart to open up her Bible to Psalm 91 and claim that for her and her family. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that's what you're doing right now, that you will place it in her heart to go to Psalm 91 and believe it. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
May you break the power of evil spirit of fear.
Yes.
And we command it to go from her and that household in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
I just had a question. There's some people I haven't seen here for a while, like Wade and Jeanette. I was just wondering if anyone knew anything about that or.
No, I don't. They've been gone a while, and I tried to text him, and I didn't get anything back. So I don't know. I don't know. I had it down. I need to call him, find out him or Willie, either one. I don't know what the deal is. But I'll try to call him tomorrow and see. Because Wade's been pretty faithful up until here the last few months. All right. Anyone else?
About that. Can I ask for a prayer for South Africa?
Yes, ma'am, you certainly can.
They announced yesterday another 2 weeks, just for, just like your email said, that the people repent of their sin and that they, like you said, pray for revival for South Africa. and also for fear to leave the houses, that God will provide, that we don't sit the 2 weeks and worry about your business, but spend the 2 weeks to get closer and closer, get to your quiet place and get closer to God. Please.
Okay. I didn't understand a lot of that, so you'd have to forgive me. You wanted us to pray for a revival in South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we just lift up all of your chosen in South Africa right now, and those that are believers, Lord, already. And we ask that you send forth your warrior angels, your praying angels, to touch each one of them, to be praying for revival and a change in this country, in the name of Jesus. Father, there has been past revival started there, great revival started right there. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you place it in every believer there in that country to drop down on their knees as much as possible and to pray for revival in South Africa. And when they do, Lord, I know that there will be a change like they've never experienced before. And I thank you for it, Father. I'm asking you to send them forth now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for South Africa, for all of your chosen there, Lord. Thank you, Father, that even members of the government would come to you in a crying, repenting way, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. I ask that your Holy Spirit wind blows across that whole country, Lord. And that as it goes, people drops to their knees all the way across that country, wherever they are, and cry out to you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this great country of yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, I believe it. I believe it. We've been praying for y'all here. All right, anybody else? I watched a thing by Mike Evans just a little bit ago that Missy had sent me. I think she sent it to some of y'all too. And one of the main things that the Lord has showed Evans is there's the idols in people's lives, the pastors being their idols, President Trump being an idol, TV being an idol, entertainment being an idol, whatever it is. And can somebody give me the definition of an idol in a believer's walk? Go ahead, Stephen.
Anything that you put before God.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, brother. Anything that you put before God. The thing that you're doing the most is your idol. And so the Lord showed him that what his idols were, and he had to repent of that. And one of the things that was so awesome he talked about was that he went to this church, mega church he called it. And the pastor there wanted him to preach there. I don't know whose it was, but the Lord had talked to him that day. I think that's where one day he had, before the message was taught, 2 or 3 days before, he had had a motorcycle accident where a kid had run a stoplight or something, and he'd had to lay his motorcycle down and skin his arm up and his leg up. And then the day he was in, this was in London, that's where it was. It was in London in a mega church there. He named it, but I don't recognize it. But anyway, the day that he was to preach, he was standing on the corner and a truck came by. It had a big mirror on it and slapped him right in the shoulder and bruised it all up. And he just attributed it to Satan because he had this great message he was going to give at this church. So when it came time, the pastor introduced him and he got up there at the pulpit. And he started praying and what have you, you know, starting the thing. And the Lord told him, said, shut up, sit down. And he's thinking in his mind, what? What are these people going to say? What's the preacher going to say? The Lord told him again. He said, I said, shut up and sit down. So he honored the Lord, turned around, went back to his chair and sat down. And this preacher's looking at him. What? You know? And he said, I sat there during 45 minutes. For 45 minutes. Yeah, Missy. Did you have something? You can help me here because I'm not remembering. Anyway.
I thought it was only like 5 minutes. I may be wrong.
No, he said he sat there for 45 minutes. I heard that part. But he said I was sweating bullets. He said I don't know what to do. All I knew, God told me to sit down and shut up. And this pastor over there was just steaming hot. You know, didn't know what it was. Now, I thought he said 40. It might have been 5. I don't know. But anyway. And he couldn't say anything. He said, I was sitting over with my head bowed. And he said, people were talking. They were looking at one another, you know, da-da-da. What's going on? What's going on? We're talking about a huge church. Thousands of people in there. And he said, all of a sudden, in the back row, said there was a Holy Spirit came in. The back rows hit their knees and started crying out to God. And they were crying out to God the whole time, and everybody turned around and looked. And that breath of repentance came forward in that church. And as it did, people were hitting their knees and repenting and coming to the Lord in a mighty way. And he said it came all the way up there. And he said all of a sudden, said the pastor jumped up, spun around like a top, hit the floor, and he was out. He never did explain about that, but he said that was revival starting in that whole church right there. Of repentance. He said God wanted the idols out of the people's lives, and that idol was the pastor, I guess, in a lot of their eyes. And the thing that Mike was showing us, the Holy Spirit was showing us through Mike, is that we can honor man more than we honor God and miss God completely. And you know, I thought that was so cool. That's what I see coming, is people, this breath, as people pray for revival and things are shaking all around us, is this breath of the Holy Spirit coming through with a repentance type revival. And boy, that's going to be an awesome time. And God wants us ready for that. The bride is what's going to disciple them when they come in. Oh, that was awesome. I'm going to put the link up in the chat, or maybe you can. Missy, would you do that? I'll have to get out and go back. Yeah, Julie, if you can, go ahead. Want somebody.
I just wanted to add to what you said a little bit. I think when he got up to speak in that big church, like you were saying, I think part of his sermon was from Luke 4. I don't remember what it was, but he was quoting Isaiah 61.
Yeah,
that's what it was. And it's like, that was really, to me, that was like really symbolic. It's like, that was the first thing Jesus did when he went into the synagogues. He, you know, he spoke all this in front of, you know, the people. And it's like, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, right? So I thought that was very, very significant, is what he was starting to preach.
Absolutely.
So then before then he was going to start with his sermon, and that's when he heard the Lord say, shut up and sit down. And he's like, well, I got this great sermon I want to give. And he's like, sit down. And it's like, when you hear the voice of the Lord, it's like, okay, all right, I'm not going to argue. He said, he's like, that was like the longest, I think it was 4 to 5 minutes, like in a period of like four to five minutes. I think that's where you got that. Anyhow, it felt like eternity because it did feel like 45 minutes. But I thought that was really
4 to 5.
Symbolic and very interesting that it was that scripture. That's all the Lord allowed him to say.
Yeah. That was an awesome, it's about 49 minutes long. Yeah, Theodore.
So I'd like to repent. And I had this little idol for the last couple of days. And there's a little fishing game on my cell phone. All you do is catch fish. And I'd play it between my meetings because I work from home right now. And today I didn't even read the Bible, and I kept looking at it. It was on my desk, and I was like, I'll read it, you know, after my next meeting or something, and I'd play the game in between the meetings. And it so happened that I didn't pick up the Bible, but I caught a lot of fish, fake fish, you know. So not long before this meeting started, I just turned it on, and it crashed on me. And something just clicked, and I was like, delete. I just deleted it. I was like, Lord, thank you for crashing the game and just getting me out of that trance or whatever it was, you know. So I'm thankful that I'm free of that. And I mean, it was a simple little thing, right? But it kept me from the Bible. So I just want to repent of that.
Amen.
That idol, and thank the Lord that He took it away from me. And I have another prayer request, I guess. I stumbled across this video on YouTube about smart meters and Wi-Fi and all that RF radiation from cell phones. And I went outside, and there was two big fat smart meters right outside Theo's bed, on the other side of his bed, on the wall outside of the house. And it just, you know, like, could this be why he's acting up, you know, why he's really hard to deal with sometimes? And I don't know. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I claimed Psalm 91 over him and our house. And I just want maybe you all to uphold me in that prayer for us.
Yeah.
And, ask the Lord to get us a place outside the city. There's a cell phone tower right up the road. I'm sure it's not helping out. And if y'all could pray for us and have the Lord find us another place, you know.
Okay. Well, let's do it then. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I lift up Theodore and Lana and Matthew. No.
Maximus.
Maximus and Theodore, number three. And Lord, I thank you that house is like lead around it. Nothing can penetrate that house because you've got your angels round about that house, and nothing can penetrate anywhere around the house or where the boys are playing. In the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, Lord, we thank you for putting a protective shield around each one of them. Even as they go outside, that there's no radiation whatsoever going to get on them. No chemtrails, no nothing that's harmful to their body. In the name of Jesus, And Father, we thank you for giving us the faith to believe that we don't have to worry about it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody agree?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We do.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that if there has been any damage done to either the children or Theodore or Lana, that you would reverse that, Lord, and heal him up to perfection, Lord God, and take away any contrary activity that the kids are doing. Lord, get them settled down and Amen. Brought upright, and just make them a great family, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yep,
a great, healthy family.
Yes.
I also have a prayer request on the topic of our toddler boys here. Theo and I pay a lot of attention to how we're training up our boys, and we're obviously not perfect, but we have read some, or at least at this point, one very biblical book on how to train your child. The end goal of the book was to teach us to train our child proactively versus disciplining them reactively. And Theo is going through this, either it's a rebellious stage, or maybe it's been going on for a couple of weeks, or maybe it's been the effects of sleeping by the meter, because we moved his bed closer to the meter unknowingly a couple of weeks ago, we changed that. Regardless, we prayed for the protection over our home, and we're claiming it and believing it, but what I'm looking for is the wisdom to continue to train them, because so many little children are failing their parents, so to speak, around them. And so whenever I speak of positive training to my fellow sisters and in-laws, the response is always, books are one thing, real life's another. It's not possible to train your child properly. Your children are strong-willed, you can't change them, on and on. And so the hope has been lost. And so I wish that God would help us train our kids properly so that we could be a light, an example, and an encouragement to those around us that seem to have lost hope in their own kids. Because I truly believe it's possible, but there are days when I'm just lacking strength to focus on training them, and I lack the faith to continue the efforts, because I get frustrated. It's two toddlers after all, and if it's not one nagging at you, it's the other one yelling, and I just get so worn out some days. And it's just two, and my mother raised 12, so I'm thinking there's got to be some sort of well of strength that I'm just not digging deep enough, and staying in the word helps. Some days they take every little bit out of me and Theo. And these days I'm at a loss. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Theo he's talk backing. He's commanding me to do things. The little guy is rebuking me for disciplining him. And it just blows me away. I'm like, where is this coming from? I can't handle this kind of disrespect. And yet I can't seem to discipline it out of him. So some strength and encouragement and wisdom from the Lord greatly helpful.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for doing that for Lana and Theodore. Give them patience, grace, and a taser, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. We thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and the wherewithal when to use the rod and to immediately give the love and tell them what's wrong. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in this family.
Amen.
And we come against that rebellious spirit in those boys right now. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You lead them, boys, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Theodore the Third has no problems with rebellion anymore from this point on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Because we commanded it to go.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's see if I can. I had to admit somebody. Barbara's coming in. Yeah, Julie.
I'd just like to add to that, Lord. I just pray that you pour an outpouring of your grace and patience and long suffering, and on both Lana and Fyodor, and that they are not moved by what they may see or what they may hear. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given them authority over these issues that have been discussed, Lord. And it's not going to be a problem anymore, but I just pray that your power is made perfect in our weakness. And we come to you in faith, Lord. And I just know they're going to do a great and mighty work here. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Sue.
Amen. Lord, I just pray that you would show them both, Lord, when issues do come up with these children, that you would show them, speak to them, whether show them that if there's any evil spirits that are involved in the children, show them what they need to do at that time so that they can do it according to your will and your way, Lord. Just guide them and direct them. Just give them those words and those things that they need to do to take care of those situations that arise with these children. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I've had that happen to me when my husband and I, we didn't raise our children in the Lord. And so when we got married, my second husband with me, we wanted to raise our grandchildren in the Lord. And we would ask the Lord, show us what we need to do. You know, this one time, this 3-year-old grandson, I was doing dishes, and he started getting on the floor and having a temper tantrum. And I'm like, I'm standing there and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do I do here? I mean, there was no reason for him to do that, but he was on the floor having this temper tantrum, like kicking his feet and hollering and carrying on. And then I felt like the Lord says, don't, you know, sometimes when somebody's having a temper tantrum, kids having a temper tantrum, you feel like you want to spank them. I just asked the Lord, what do you want me to do here? And in my mind, you know, and all of a sudden I found myself saying to him, Joey, how old are you? 3. Do you want to be a big boy or a baby? A big boy. Well, you're acting like a baby. But I don't want to. he was saying something like that. I said, well, then you just got to get up. But I can't. And then I said, well, just ask Jesus to help you. And so he says, Jesus, help me. Next thing you know, he stopped having this temper tantrum, but he's just laying there. I said, okay, now you can get up. So he got up and he went off and played. Just like that. So that's why I'm saying that each issue, each time something happens, it could be just that you just have to seek the Lord at that time and just direct you as to what you got to do at that time. You know, it might not be the same thing all the time. You know, of course, you know, my husband and I wanted to train our grandchildren up in the Lord. So that was a good training for us. It wasn't just for them, it was for us. And so it was a blessing. We didn't hardly have to spank this one because when he was around 3, we kept saying, oh, Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is in your heart. And then it dawned on us, no, wait, we never had him ask Jesus to come into his heart. So, you know, when we talked about Jesus being in your heart, well, you have to ask him to come into your heart. And he did. And so that was a help, too. Because then he was more sensitive. But and one time he broke something, and we didn't scold him. It was something that we had. We didn't scold him about it. But we just got on his level and talked to him face. Just said, had something in and somebody broke, would feel bad, right? And he said, yeah, well, you know, we're feeling bad because that happened. And he started crying. We didn't have to discipline him or nothing. He just started crying. I'm sorry. Amen. And Theodore, I do want to say, the Lord wants you to be fishers of men. Fishers of men.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Amen. My mom always tells me that.
He loves you and he wants you to be fishers of men.
Yeah. My mom says that every time I go fishing in real life.
I had to put that in.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
I really appreciate the encouragement. There are days where I've already used the loving method and the stricter method and none of it's working, and I just don't know, you know, which side to throw myself on just to get them to do what I want them to do. And I'm not sure. I tend to be busy a lot too. And maybe it's just not enough attention, but I'll try to remember to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I do this time? And
okay. He'll be there for you. You just, I mean, my husband and I, we didn't, but we wanted to this time because God gave us he gave us the opportunity, and it was a blessing, you know. And so you just got to stand back and say, tongues, if you can't handle it, just pray a tongue, Lord, help me.
Yeah, sometimes it's sometimes it's a red flag to me that maybe I'm doing something wrong. There's nothing wrong with the kid. Maybe it's, I got to take a minute, stand back and check myself, and then it'll resolve itself. That's also a good reminder, because you get so busy, you think it's all the kid's fault. Then you turn around and realize you weren't paying attention to begin with.
Well, they don't even know, you know, I've had grandchildren that saw demons. And I mean, this was after my husband had passed away, and I was dealing with children, but they didn't know nothing about it. I had to tell those demons they had to go, and they did go. And I had to reinforce that to children, say, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to demons trying to use you. But they were older, so you know, they weren't toddlers.
I had that issue as a child. I had a lot of nightmares that had to do with Satan. We used to let him watch some cartoons every once in a while, and it turned to be a problem because he couldn't sleep at night, and he'd wake up crying uncontrollably and then calling out the names of the cartoons. And I immediately realized it was a problem, and so we've cut that out a while back now. But yeah, the demon thing, the kids soak it up, and especially out of movies, and we're very careful about that. And I didn't even watch movies as a kid. We've never had a TV. We were raised without one, and we've continued to do that in our home. But I had dreams of Satan very often. Don't know why. Wouldn't wish it upon my own kids. And so we wanted for that one. Praise God. That hasn't been an issue so far, or anymore in this case.
Yeah, just seek the Lord when you're dealing with something. Back off so that you don't get in the flesh, and pray in tongues, and you know the Lord will be there. You know.
Amen.
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 Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Lana, when you were saying about the one rebuking you for disciplining them, it reminded me of my son Kurt. He's my 30-year-old, and he was like maybe 8, 10 years old. I'm not quite sure, probably more like 8. And he got angry at me for disciplining him, you know, spanking him, you know. And I told him, I said, why are you mad at me? I said, you did it. I said, you had either the choice to obey. You it was your choice, obey or get spanked. You know, if you disobey, then you're telling me, you know, you want to be spanked, you know. I switched it around on him, and, you know, and that's how I put it to him. And I think it kind of sunk in, you know. You know, you have two choices, get spanked or obey, you know. So you're choosing to get spanked. And another thing that came to my mind, now this is before I was a Christian, but when my boys were little, and they say they go through this terrible twos where they like to throw temper tantrums and stuff like that. I was told by the pediatrician back then to just ignore it, because it's just their way of trying to get attention. And I did that a couple times with both my boys, just totally ignored them. And it worked because they, why am I doing this? And I'm not getting any attention. So that's just, you know, one thought. I never had problems with temper tantrums with them. You know, never was a big issue or anything. So just a thought.
Yeah, he got over the temper tantrums pretty quick. It's the when I try to discipline him, then it's he puts up a fight, rebuking me and saying no. And when I, you know, I spank him and I say, hey, you were wrong, and he says nope. And I said, you know, I'm trying to encourage him to repent and say, I love you, Mommy. I won't do it again. And he just looks me straight in the eye and he's like, nope. Just he's done it before. So that tells me he understands. But when he just completely goes no to everything, then I become confused, or at least I lose my ground. And I'm like, does he really understand? Am I getting them somewhere? So God willing, we'll stand our ground and get through this with him, with God's help, of course. And thank you so much for all the encouragement, the words of wisdom, and the prayer. I believe we'll get through this one.
Amen. You will.
Amen.
We all had to. I helped raise twin grandsons and a respectifier.
And a respectifier.
Yeah, it was a pattern. About like this, it wasn't very thick, but it was had holes in it so that the air wouldn't pat it, and it would get a solid lick. I never had to use it but one time. All I had to do was look at that paddle up sitting up on the counter. They keep on. This is, but anyway, go ahead, Dave.
I'll put my wife on for a minute if you don't mind.
Go ahead and talk to him. He's sit. She's a social worker.
No, that's fine. You sit. It's about the two-year-old. I mean, kids need to know their boundaries, and they need to know that parents are parents and are going to enforce those boundaries. But he's being two, and that's what they do at the developmental stage. They are just checking the boundaries to see where they're at and where they, what, how far they can push you.
Yeah, and
I don't have a lot of patience for him disrespecting or breaking my rules. So things start to get out of control pretty quickly. Oh, semi out of control. I try to keep it, rein it in. But
keep in mind, though, that he's only two and he doesn't process information. He doesn't know he's being disrespectful.
True. I forget that.
He's just checking out the boundaries and seeing what he can get away with and what he can't get away with. It's not a
constant. Yeah, it's kind of unnerving that it's so. It continues to go on day after day. It doesn't seem to click.
And all of a sudden it will stop.
Yeah. Praise God. We'll wait for the day and keep working through it then.
And sometimes just making things fun and humorous too, just, you know, and redirection,
yes.
Interrupt him, you know, get him off what, you know, he'll forget later what he was even upset about or what the issue was. And if you need to take a time out and just take a deep breath and say a little prayer and, you know, go in another room for a minute, that's okay too.
Amen.
Yeah, the redirection usually works, but sometimes I'm afraid that it's not enough. But
patience.
Patience,
prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lord, we just thank you that you've given Lana that patient pill. And Lord, she's got it from this point on. And you're going to give her a lot of grace over those boys. Because sometimes a strong-willed boy, you have to have a lot of patience, Father. And we ask that you give her a bucket load of it in Jesus' name. Just dump it all over her, Lord, and she'll be fine. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Lana and Theodore. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We got that all straightened out now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, anyone else? Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Yeah. Albert says, Albert Van Wyck says, God uses our children to crucify our flesh, some of us. You know, he does. He does for a fight. I lost a lot of flesh over my grandson. I did. Okay. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, don't forget, children are a real good example to us for some of those scriptures, too. You know, like you have to become as a little child and trust in and believe. I always found that, you know, with what mommy couldn't handle, daddy was going to soon handle right after that. You know, mommy's too nurturing sometimes. it's interesting.
That's yep.
true.
Yeah, that's the way my mother was. You know, you could push her button, but then you push it too much. She's, I'm going to tell your daddy. I'm going to tell your daddy on you, boy. He's going to stretch you out. You straighten up, Ben. All right. Now that we've got all the child nurturing gone, my mom used a wooden spoon. Oh, that wouldn't have done for mama. She used a ball bat. No. Okay. Anyone else? Well, there were four of us boys, so bless your heart.
Anybody so what else did need that, prayer? What did that soap taste like?
That was lava soap she used. I said the wrong word one time as a teenager. She marched me right in there and put some lava soap down my throat. Woo, you know, and made me sit there with it sticking out, you know, like some cartoon character. It didn't taste very good. I didn't cuss after that. All right. Did you, Julie? You had a taste of it too. Yeah. This is not good tasting stuff. Zestfully clean, Jeff says. Okay, Jeff. Zestfully clean. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Greg, you doing okay, bud?
I just said, hang on. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I'm just was going to say, I was always good as a kid.
All right. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Yeah,
Michael, Jude and I had an experience today. Well, there's this truck that was on our road, and there was two young men that were in it, and one got his front left tire stuck in a ditch. I mean, it must have been a deep ditch because his whole big, this, he had yeah. a big, one of them big trucks, you know, that had those big wheels on it, you know, young guys, and the front was in the ditch, and then on the left, on the driver's side, and then on the passenger side, on the same
front and back.
Back, it was also in a little bit in the ditch, but that one in the front, very front, was deep. I mean, it was really deep right there, and they were trying. Judy was outside; she was sitting on the porch, and I was working in the yard. And we saw that, and so we were praying about it. And he comes over, he sees us out there, and he comes over and asks if he could use my jack, if I had a jack. And I said, yeah, so I let him use it. But the way I looked, neither one of us thought that was going to work. But anyway, Judy called Matt, and he came over, and he checked it out with him. And he's got a tractor, so he pulled them out real quick. But before he set them up to pull them out, Judy and I prayed that the Lord would help them and that he would have the angels lift that truck up out of that hole. And it was out in no time. When he connected the tractor, he pulled the back end of it because that's the only way you're going to get anywhere because the way it was sitting. And we so Matt pulled it with the tractor, and it came out real quick. And we believe that those angels lifted that front left hand tire. And so we were able to give them a couple of Psalm 91
cards,
and we told them that, you know, I went over and I told them that we were praying for them, and Matt got to talk to the one, and his the driver, he said he reads his Bible every day, I guess a chapter a day or something. And so they're real young looking, like in their 20s. So Lord, I don't know why, I just like to pray about it. Lord, I don't know why they were here, but I know that you allow things to happen for your purpose and for your kingdom. And if these two, or you want to shake these two up so they follow after you, Lord, we just pray that they see your hand, how much you have helped them and how much you have blessed them by them being taken care of with their vehicle. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to work in their hearts and their minds, and that they would repent of anything and come to you and follow you and live for you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I guess I got a question. I don't want to get too caught up on the nurturing and all that stuff, you know, back where we were talking about there with Theo and Lana. I got a question, you know, if anyone can answer. Where's that fine line, I guess, between discipline and abuse? You know, I've always kind of wondered that. I mean, maybe you guys, I mean, Theo, or I mean, anybody else, where is that, I guess?
Well, the abuse comes when you don't show love with it. If it's not in love, don't do it.
Emotionally don't get mad. Driven,
don't
much.
Get mad. Don't get mad. Yeah. And
discipline a child.
Discipline a child.
Yeah.
Cool off first, and know what you're doing, and then that's that patience we're talking about. And then go in there and explain to them why you're doing it. And then after you do it, love them. Love them.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
The abuse is when they just come in there and thrash you and leave you in your puddle, you know, and don't explain why they did it or anything like that. That's the abuse.
Or if they do, No, I mean, I guess if they do, they're more consumed with their emotions and they're not really reasoning with you, and but they're just totally emotional.
They're reacting.
Okay. Yeah. Reacting. Okay. Okay. No, yeah, I just was, where's that fine line, or, you know, what's the one? So, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, Joe?
Yeah, Julie?
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Theodore.
Yeah, when I talk to Theo and I ask him if he knows why I'm spanking him, he knows. Yeah. He says, okay. I said, all right, lay down, buddy. And he'll lay down. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
I think that fine line can also be defined as when you're taking advantage of a child because you're feeling angry, or because they've done something to trigger your anger as an adult. Anytime you take advantage of the child without any real reason, that's basically used. Even if it's just a slap, or if you know, whoop them to death, God forbid. But you're taking advantage, and that's abuse.
Sure. Amen. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, once I even asked him, do you want it once or twice? And he said twice. I was like, okay, buddy. he did wrong. Right. So, okay. And then, you know, you can't hit him hard after that one. You just tap him. After that, you're like, he's maybe he just knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know. They know when they do wrong. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
Abuse is when you tell them, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, okay. Daddy never said that. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just, what came to my mind was, the whole how we respond in anything. The Lord showed me some things about how like my neighbor down below me was causing problems for me, and I think I shared that with y'all one Saturday, but it continued, and I was really starting to get irritated, and I'm like, well, Lord, what do I do? You know, we prayed about this, and what do you want me to do? And I just kept hearing, so I contact the office management, and I'm like, okay, and I just kind of waited on that, and then it happened again, and I'm like, okay. And Lord showed me, it's like, don't, when I respond, don't do it in anger, don't do it in the emotion, because then, you know, you come across like, you know, whining, complaining, tenant or whatever the situation was. And the same thing, it's like when you know, whatever, somebody's in your face, or, you know, you get a bad email or whatever it is how you respond. You don't want to do an anger or any kind of emotion. You have to like really just wait on the Lord, ask him how to respond. And it's a self-control thing. And even when dealing with this in the spiritual realm, when it's like things don't go the way they're supposed to, and frustration, impatience would start manifesting in me. And then I would start getting angry because things weren't going the way they're supposed to. And that was like some of those fiery trials that were I was going through, that these things were coming up in me that I had to cast down and reckon myself dead to. But it's just, the Lord has just shown me how you respond to any kind of circumstance, situation, or especially with dealing with people. You really got to be careful and wait and not do it with the emotion part. That's all I wanted to share about that.
Amen. Okay, go ahead, Albert. Oh, wait a minute, he's got a hand. Is that a hand up or a hand praying?
I was just agreeing with it.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Andrew.
So what's the lesson behind all of this?
Don't have kids, huh?
Nope.
No.
That's not the lesson. Like, I was just wondering, you know, like, if anyone would quote that verse that Jeremiah once said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." So how would the Lord handle, you know how we goof up on sometimes disciplining? Would you want the Lord to do the goof up on you? I don't think so. So that's pretty interesting anyway. I think maybe when you get to have grandchildren, you love them better. And if you ever do have grandchildren, I guess you would have had them first if you saw how much easier it was to have them.
Yeah. Grandchildren always better. Go ahead, Angelica.
Well, I figured since we were on the subject, just share a little something. You know, I have a 14-year-old son. He's about to be 15, and it has been a long road, and there's no doubt about it that the Lord will use anyone to bring you to your cross. And for the most part, it's really shown me a lot of things that were in me, you know, just generational things, you know, anger, rage, all of those, you know, just criticism, looking at someone with an eye, expecting them to be what sometimes they're not able to be, you know, or expecting them to have the same understanding that you have. And it's taught me humility. It's taught me to have grace, you know, but it wasn't like something that I just automatically understood. I mean, even still now, I'm still, you know, learning and going through this process of not only my son using, you know, the Lord using my son to bring me to my cross, and to learn how to, you know, see Jesus Christ in the mirror, even though I stumble, even though I err in some of my ways, you know, especially with discipline and correction. But at the same time, seeing Christ in him and trusting God that he's going to do the work in him, because it's no, he's no different, because he belongs to the Lord, and God, you know, God's responsible for everything that I can't do in my own flesh. And I realized that all, you know, for many years, I was trying to make my son, whom I wanted him to be, you know, a man of God, through my own flesh, through my own strength, you know, not having faith for some of these things and confessing things out of my mouth that were just so horrible. And that continual confession, because we're seeing with our sight, and you know, we're going to the world for wisdom. When we can't go to the world, we can't go to the lost for wisdom concerning spiritual things, because it will just derail your faith. And so anyway, you know, there's some things I have learned in the Lord, and my son has grown in so many ways, and yet there's battles in other places. But, you know, I have faith that the Lord is going to have to correct him. And I thank God that, that, you know, the Lord is going to, you know, finish the work that he started in him. And I think we have to look at our children in that same way and see that, see Christ in them, and confess that good confession for them too. And that's all I want.
All right. Wow, how can I get everybody on the same screen? I've got two pages now for some reason. Okay. Yep, it's a flesh eater. It's a flesh killer. Go ahead, Pat.
I guess so. They did was like, you know, stop and say, Lord, what are you, how do I deal with this type of thing? And it kind of brought to mind something the Lord showed me about, it was in Ephesians 6:4. And I'll just read it. It said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And I know that I read a lot of books about, you know, not only, you know, Proverbs and everything through the Bible related to child rearing and some of the stuff. One thing I would encourage you to is not pay a lot of attention to the psychological books that are written of today, because I believe they kind of missed the mark in the whole process. But some of the, you know, older books, even written back in, I think, what is it, Booth? I'm thinking of General Booth, his wife of the Salvation Army. He wrote, she wrote a book on child rearing, which was really good. I don't know if it's still available or whatever, but she had some very valid points. And I think they only raised like, what, 14 or 18 kids or something like that. But anyway, the scripture that got me though was that fathers, provoke not your children to, I always read this a certain way for some reason. I always read the words, but this is how it came to me as I was reading the words. Instead of, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, it always seemed to come to me as, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition. And And so I was constantly trying to find that battle or the balance between between, you know, reacting out in anger or impatience or whatever, and dealing with a situation in my kids that I didn't have the resources to deal with. And so I found myself stumbling through the process. And unfortunately, it's like experience. You get it after you need it. And that's why I think grandchildren like Andrew said are so much more enjoyable than, because you're going through them the second time as opposed to the first. But people in the meeting here tonight have mentioned that very thing about bringing the aspect of the Lord into it, because it's really nurturing them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. It's not my chastening and admonition. It's the chastening and admonition of the Lord that He has placed upon me to minister in this particular situation. That's kind of a vague description of the awareness of the thing that the Lord gave me through that, but it was just one of those little things that for whatever reason I wasn't catching. And I think about I think Judy brought it up, and Julie brought the same thing up about bringing the Lord into the situation in some form immediately or through the process. And I think it, for whatever reason, it gives you the patience to be focusing on the Lord and to be dealing more with the Lord as opposed to this child that's roughing up here. And it helps to put my mind in the proper perspective and take the responsibility, so to speak, for the correction off me and put it on the Lord. Where the solution is in some form. I don't know if that helps at all, but it was kind of the thought that came up to me. One thing I was thinking about when you were mentioning about placing the kids close to the smart meter and various different things like that, and worrying about that situation, I kind of got the same feeling related to this plague that's coming across the world right now, and that is, you know, like the government now, it's getting to the point now where they're making us wear masks and all this sort of stuff to go out into the public, and at least up here in Pennsylvania. And once they start, everybody starts going back to work, they've already made preparations to put, you know, for people to have masks and gloves and all this sort of situation. And obviously, the ability to protect yourself from an unknown virus, an unseen thing, is pretty overwhelming or impossible if you really try to think about it, because there's just so many ways that something like that could get transmitted. But the only safe place, obviously, is behind God's word, taking protection behind God's word. And I was thinking about that script, the story about Job, where Satan came up and was talking to the Lord about Job. You know, and some of those verses right there describes where Satan is trying to. He said, well, I can't touch him because you've put a hedge around him. But, and various things like that. And so, and then I think the next verse or so after that, God says, all right, well, go ahead. He's in your hands. Just do whatever, but save his life or whatever. And the point was, is that God's word was spoken over Job, and God owned Job, and the devil couldn't do anything, not only in Job's life, but he can't do anything in our life as well. And it's not so much that God is bigger, that he has a bunch of angels that he can throw around us, and he's got all the resources in the world, which he does, but it's the fact that he said it. And he said it, and that's and the devil can't do anything with that. Especially if we believe it. And the interesting thing was it in Job's life was Job overall believed it, but he didn't know what was happening in this situation. But God was still had him, had possession of him. He was his, and the devil couldn't do anything with it. Couldn't get past his word. Couldn't get past God. And to a certain degree, I think that's where we are. There's so many things in the world today that we have no ability to overcome. Such as, you know, cell phone tracking in the end days, or whatever the thing is going to be. It's going to be so complicated. For the government to track any one of us right now, it would take them about that long, that quick, and they could know exactly where we're at. The only safe place is in God, is behind God and covered with God. So I believe you were right on track when you were talking about claiming Psalm 91 for that particular situation, because it may look like, you know, the odds are stacked against you, but you're trusting in God's word in that particular situation, and the devil can't do anything with it. He can't do a thing with it. So I just encourage you just to keep on keeping on. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Okay, I think we beat them kids enough. All right. All right, let's see, what was the topic tonight? Yeah, Andrew.
Wasn't it the gifts of the Spirit?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's look at the gifts of the Spirit. We thought we'd go through that kind of briefly, a little bit. All right, I'm going to name the gifts of the Spirit quite quickly. And they are, I'm going to put them in their rightful place. The three revelation gifts, that's the spiritual gifts that reveal something, are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Then there's three power gifts. That's spiritual gifts that do something. That's the gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gift of healings. And then there's the three inspirational gifts, or the utterance. And that's spiritual gifts that say something. And that's the gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those two go together. And that's what we're going to talk about. Is there any particular one that we talked about? What was it, the prophetic? Anybody got a certain one that they don't really understand? Yeah, Julie?
What is the difference between the gifts of a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge?
Okay.
The gift of anybody wisdom, it's, yeah, the gift of wisdom and gift of knowledge.
Okay. Andrew?
Well, a word of knowledge is what, as you know, when the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, he got a word of knowledge on all the seven churches. And he wrote these letters to these churches. And it was a knowledge for the time he was in, right there. Like when Peter got a word of knowledge about the first Gentiles that were going to come to the Lord, Cornelius. But the word of wisdom, I'm going to have to hand that over to someone else. So a word of knowledge is an advanced word from the Lord for that specific time, like he got for all the seven churches. But there's also a word of wisdom in each one of those churches. But I forget how that one goes. I can't really think now.
All right, go ahead, Stephen.
I think Solomon is a good example of word of wisdom when he came to the two mothers with the baby, and they're arguing about which baby was theirs. And so Solomon laid a test out there, and then the heart was shown by the reactions of the two mothers. Knowledge would be more like when Jesus knew what the Pharisees were thinking. He had some divine insight as to what was going on in their mind. There are some examples of that where maybe he was healing somebody. He said, and he goes on, well, so that you know that the Son of Man can forgive sins, stand up and walk, or there was a healing involved, but he knew what the Pharisees were thinking, so he addressed that. So there was regarding knowledge and others regarding wisdom. Well, information is knowledge, and wisdom is what to do with the knowledge.
Okay, go ahead, Albert.
Like we understand it, word of wisdom is when God gives us wisdom for a situation that we are facing right now. And the word of knowledge refers to something in our past, like the spirit of prophecy revealing something in someone's past. I'm not sure where it's written in the scripture in the New Testament where people were prophesying and an unbeliever would come in and they would prophesy something of his past and he will know it's from God. So it's referring to something that has already happened.
Okay. Let's see. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I've had experiences with, like, for instance, one time there was, I was just praying about a situation with one of my boys, and I was just asking the Lord, you know, about it, and, you know, thoughts were going through my mind about the whole thing, you know, and then when I actually talked to him about it, the Lord just popped something into my head, just wisdom to speak to the situation that spoke to him that he understood and just shut down anything that the enemy tried to do there. That's my experience, you know, like the Lord just instantly gives you wisdom of something to say. And that is a particular experience that I had, you know.
Okay. All right, anyone else? All right, let me just read this right here. The revelation the word of knowledge brings is always present tense or concerning something that has happened in the past. That's the word of knowledge. It's William Branham operated in the word of knowledge a lot. The Lord would tell him about things that was going on in a person's life at that time or something in the past or something in the future. On the other hand, the word of wisdom always speaks of the future. You know, the best way, I won't say that right now. Though both of those gifts actually operate together with the gift of prophecy. All of that operates together. A prophet that works in the office of a prophet utilizes all of those gifts. The gift of prophecy only works in that particular realm of prophecy. There's a difference there. The office of the prophecy uses all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whereas the simple prophecy that we know about a lot is just operates in that, in just the prophecy gift. Not a gift, but it's just what God speaks to. Does that make sense? All right. Anybody got anything else they want to add to it? That's a lot we can go through. We can spend weeks in this, but I just want to hit on the top thing. Yeah, Joe.
I wanted to confirm something. I think what you spoke of, Albert, it sounds like, Michael or anybody, confirm. So I guess with the word of knowledge, you can, if you operate in that, that can be towards unbelievers as well. I think that's what you meant, Albert, Michael, is that true? It's not just specifically for believers, but God can give you something for an unbeliever.
What do you mean? You mean he could give me a word for an unbeliever?
Yeah, a word of knowledge. Something about the past, you were saying. Okay.
Yeah. That's a lot of time people come to the Lord because of it.
Okay, because I think I remember doing that with an old childhood friend. The Lord gave me something, I just kind of out of the blue. I think I remember I talked to her here, briefly for a while there, but then I just really got to, talk to her about some things in her life, and I think the Lord told me she hasn't forgiven this doctor that years ago treated her, her mother or father, whichever one, both of them died under the care of a doctor, I believe. And so she still had unforgiveness towards this doctor. And just like Missy said, this thought came to her mind. That happened with me. And I was like, I remember years ago, she actually, she exhibited those feelings of unforgiveness. And the Lord was telling me if she still hasn't forgiven this guy. And then that's where I started talking about it. And I think she was really moved by bringing that up. So I was thinking, okay, I don't think she is a believer. She's had some history with the church, but I do not really believe she is one, so I was thinking, is that, just a gift for the believer or the unbeliever? So, okay.
Let me give you an example in the New Testament in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. That's a prime example of the word of knowledge at work and the word of wisdom.
Okay.
Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Now here it is, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The word of wisdom revealed to Ananias the plan and purposes of God right there at the first. And the word of knowledge revealed those specific facts in that, right? As to where to go, even to who, into the name of the street to go in, the very house he was to go into. That's what he's talking about there. That's the word of knowledge. And then he even told Ananias that Saul was praying. That was all knowledge. That's all present tense. And it was also revealed that Saul has seen in a vision. You know, he was telling him again. He's telling him what was going on at that time. That was a word of knowledge when he told him that. Okay, that's a prime example right there. And yeah, go ahead, Phil.
I've had a few moments in my life where I would run into a person, and after speaking with them or after being in their presence, I'd have a very troubled spirit, as if it was really dark, you know. What would that fall under? Like there was this one lady walked up to me in at work, and she just started talking about zombies and stuff. And I just kind of ignored it, you know, and she went off. But after she left, there was like this really dark presence that was left behind for a while. You know, my friend and I, we both felt it. He's a believer as well. So what would that fall under?
That was discerning of spirits.
Is that just the Holy Spirit telling me?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm not sure.
Well, When you felt that oppressive spirit, that's discerning of spirits. You knew it was bad, didn't you? Holy Spirit told you it was bad. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that was discerning of spirits. And I didn't catch what the other question was. And was that all you needed?
Oh, Lana had one.
Okay. Can you explain to me what the purpose of the gift of diverse tongues is?
Yeah. The diverse tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit gifts, coupled with the interpretation of tongues, equals prophecy. Someone might have the tongues spoken that the Lord places, that gives them to speak. I've operated in that early on in my walk. I didn't know anything. And I just started speaking in tongues, and I felt this great surge of energy go through me to speak it, and I spoke it. And then someone else across the way over there interpreted it. Those two coupled together always go together, always go together. Because they equal the other one in that group there, and that's prophecy. Prophecy by itself is greater than either one of those singly, you know.
So I've experienced, which you explain, when the Holy Spirit fills me and I can tell that I'm speaking in a tongue other than what my normal heavenly language is, and I can feel that with that language comes different expressions such as commands or statements. I just don't know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, obviously. Is it up to the Lord to bring somebody around to interpret that? Because obviously I don't have the gift of interpretation as far as I know.
Is this in a fellowship setting?
In a what?
Is this in a fellowship setting?
Is that home or in a fellowship setting, either one?
Oh, well, then ask the Lord yourself to interpret it for you. That's what you do. You ask the Lord, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying. I know you're giving me something here. Please give me the interpretation of it. And he will.
Okay.
Yeah. He will. Most of the time, that's used in a church setting. That's to edify the church.
Yeah.
Most generally. But you can ask when you're in your prayer closet and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you start speaking, you can ask the Lord to help you interpret that, and he'll do it. Let me get, does that answer your question? I hope it did.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Jeanette, go ahead. Jeanette Borshut. Let me unmute you.
Can you? Oh.
All right, go ahead.
I just want to share with you people what happened to me in January of 1988. Certain circumstances happened that I decided to go to another church. And the very first time I was there, the minister did not know me. There were a couple people in the church congregation that did know me, but he never knew me. And all of a sudden he started coming down the aisle towards me, and he started giving a word of knowledge about me. And I understood what it was about. And then the following two Sundays, the same thing happened. To me, that was a confirmation that I should go to that church, because I was praying about whether I should change churches or not. And my comment on wisdom is that I believe that God gives people certain insights or directions or instructions or some kind of wording that they know what to do in a certain circumstance when they're praying. What should they do? You know, they want wisdom. And the other one was, now I forgot. Well, I'll jump over to the speaking in tongues. The Lord has used me that way quite a few times in church settings. And I always prayed for the interpretation, but it never seemed like I got the interpretation. But there was always someone there who interpreted what I said. So it was an encouragement to the congregation that I was in. And I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it began to give me the interpretation sometimes. And I would just speak it out in English, a few words. But it hasn't happened for a long time, because I'm not in that kind of circumstance anymore. I do. Mm-hmm. I'm in another church now. It's still there. They're full gospel, Pentecostal. They believe in all using all the gifts and that. But as far as speaking out in church there, I have not. The Lord hasn't used me that way. So that's just my comment.
Yeah. The gifts are always given in a church setting, most generally speaking. It's to edify the church. It's to build them up and to encourage them in that respect. When you're in your prayer closet, you know, before you start praying, say, Lord, I'm going to speak. I want to pray in the Spirit, but I want to understand what I'm praying. When I get through, and it might just be a few words, you know, that he's telling you about, but you might be praying something. It sounds like, you know, you might be praying for 10 minutes in tongues, but he just gives you a few words, and that's all he wants you to know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, okay. I just asked Laura if I'd be okay to share this because I didn't want to, you know, make it lift up myself or anything, but about the wisdom and prophecy and thing. Many years ago, in fact, Hadassah was a baby. She's 38 now. So many years ago at our prayer meeting and our fellowship we're attending, we're in the home of we met at a home, and one of the teenager girls came down and was part of the prayer meeting, and she asked for prayer. She wanted prayer because she's really battling some things, and she didn't know why, and I don't remember exactly how she said, but the Lord let me know right away, and I went to her, and I said, the Lord says that you know what this is. He knew that he wanted her to know that she knew what it was, and he told her to go up to her room, to close her door, to draw from him, that she would he would help her to handle this, but that she knew what it was. And she just, I don't remember everything I said, but it was to that effect. And she just darted up off. She just darted up and ran up those steps to her room. And of course, we don't know what that was about. But just a few years later, she found she had cancer and she passed away. And so I don't know if, you know, if it was a whole forgiveness thing, or I don't know what it was. But God can use something like that to help a person repent, or we don't know. I didn't know. I had no idea. But I never experienced that kind of a thing before either, as far as finance, anything like that in that way. But just an example I wanted to. It was a wisdom, I guess. It wasn't from God, and I had a word at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Go ahead, Julie.
I kind of wanted to just kind of talk about what Lana was saying too about the diverse tongues. I pray in the spirit a lot, and there's been times where I've manifested different tongues, not, you know, other than my normal tongue, and I don't always get the interpretation, but I know that, you know, God has done that through me at times where I've been praying for other people, when I've been praying in the spirit that way. And so Lana or anyone else, I would just encourage you to do it. When you're moving the spirit and you're praying in a different prayer language and you're commanding in that, because I've done that too. Sometimes God's give me, I don't know if you want to call it a warring tongue, where it's very much like very authoritative and very, you know, it's just like you are commanding and you're doing something in the spirit realm, and so keep doing that. And the only other time that's I kept repeating a phrase over and over and over and over in a prayer language. I'm like, God, what am I saying? And he told me, like, it was just that simple. He's just like, well, you're saying this. I'm like, oh, okay, it was good, you know, it was something good, you know. But this is one of those silly things. I'm like, what am I saying? Anyhow, just keep praying in the spirit. If you're edifying yourself at the same time, you're doing warfare in the spirit realm. Those prayers are going right to the throne room. They're going right to God.
Amen. That's the most perfect prayer. Go ahead, Lana.
Amen.
I'll get to you in a minute, Andrew.
What is the difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet? Besides, the gift of prophecy can go to anyone, whereas the office can only be held by a man. What other differences are there in those two things, if I may?
Well, as I said before, the simple gift of prophecy that anybody can give has no revelation in it. Rather, it speaks unto men for edification, for exhortation, for comfort.
Edification. Okay?
Exhortation.
Yeah. And the office of the prophet can utilize all the gifts of the Spirit. in his office, and he does. And that's about as simple as I can make it. The prophet is an office. Let me just look for an example. That way, I always like to do that because it's a good way to show.
He's also an elder.
Huh?
He's also an elder. So he's not just giving prophecy. He's going to have
been put
in that position by God as an elder. Yeah. An elder, you have elders in the church. He's an elder. So there's a difference there too. And generally elders can teach. They're more than just the office. They all can teach. You know, they all have but their gift is more pronounced in one area. And that's what they're used for. And I did think Michael did mention, which was interesting, that the prophet of the Old Testament is different from the prophet of the New. I think that's a distinction we need to understand.
Yeah. Well, the office of a prophet needs to have at least two of the revealing gifts, two of those operating in his walk on a continual basis. And just like Dave said, the prophet is one of the elders. He's one of the, he can teach, should teach. But now it's not that the prophet sits up there and gives you personal prophecies. That's not his job. That's your job to ask the Lord about your own self. Okay? As a lot of that goes around, and that's just not scriptural in the New Testament. That's a New Testament that's an Old Testament thing where the Old Testament was done, but not in the New Testament. You see a lot of that. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Then verse 5, I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. We can all prophesy, but we can't all be prophets. Okay? Women cannot be in the office of a prophet. They can prophesy. Anybody can get a word from the Lord. But at the office of a prophet, women can't be in that office. It's a man's job. He's the head of the woman, you know, as he says in the Word of God. Now, here's an example. Acts chapter 21, 10 and 11 of a prophet's ministry. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. That's the office of a prophet. He had a word of knowledge. And he had a word of wisdom all right there in together. In that one, those little verses right there.
What was that? Acts what?
That's Acts chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. Albert put in there. Yeah, she was a prophetess. That's not the office of the prophet. That's not even an office. That's just that she gets a lot of words from God. Go ahead, Andrew.
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Apostle Paul prove his apostleship when he answered this prophet, Habakkuk, when he said, why do you break my heart? And he proved he was an apostle in that point, because he knew he had to go to Jerusalem.
How many of you have ever had a so-called prophet lay hands on you and give you a prophecy that never came true? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we've all done that. We all went through that stage, or I did anyway. I went through that stage. It sounded good. It's completely wrong. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was going to ask you, like, you got all nine gifts in there, but what about chapter 13?
Explain yourself.
Well, isn't the love a gift of the Spirit too? Or is the love in chapter 13?
So
it's a fruit of the Spirit.
And it's a fruit of the Spirit, or is it just a gift of the Spirit? It's a fruit of the Spirit, I know, but it is is chapter 13 here being called a gift of the Spirit and this love also? Because, you know, it's in the middle of 14 and 12 where it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm asking whether love is a gift of the Spirit as well as a fruit of the Spirit.
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you answered, but it's not included in the nine gifts of the Spirit in that particular in the chapter after. I mean, before.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
I would say that's a fruit of the Spirit then?
I would say so, yeah. I think Deb is right on that. Go ahead, Julie.
Andrew, I would say that is God's greatest gift. It's who he is. God is love. And that's part of his nature and the gift of Christ, the gift of his son, his eternal life is what we're inheriting. It's I think it's all part of
you know, it seems to me
when it's not one of the,
when he's talking in chapter 13 there, he wants us to put the love in front of all these gifts. Because it says there in the, you know, if you don't have love, you're a clanging cymbal. So he wants you to put this love, I would say in front of the gift, not ahead of the gift, but in front of the gift, because you need that love to go to work with the gift.
Let me ask you a question, and that poses another question that's going to maybe help us all out. When you go up to the Lord and you tell the Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did this. I did that. I did this. And he says, depart from me. I don't know you. But if you have that love, and he's talking about the love of Christ in you, then you can get in. That's one. That's the fruit of all that you do. That's the 30, 60, and 100 fold that he's looking for, the fruit of God in your life.
That's what I'm saying is, if you're just going to speak in tongues and you don't have the love with you, I think you got to put that love in front of that gift. You got to have the exposure to that love to make that gift happen better in you.
Absolutely. And what is that gift? That's the Word of God, right?
Right. Yeah. And because, you know, with these Corinthians, they did operate in these spiritual gifts, but they still were carnal. Because it says that at the beginning of Corinthians. So what you need is, you would need this love that never fails with the gifts. Because only the love goes to heaven. You don't need
Amen. Let me get Jeanette here right quick. Go ahead, Jeanette. Then I'll get to you, Dave. Well, wait a minute. Let me unmute you. Well, it's not wanting me to. You're going to have to unmute yourself.
There, I got it.
There it is. Okay.
I got it. Okay, my comment is, yes, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, that's Jesus, that's God. And when you use the, when God has people use these certain gifts because they have the certain gifts of the, you know, spiritual gifts, that it should be done in love. Basically what Andrew and Julie have been saying, that it should be done in love, first of all, because otherwise it just not, does not represent God at all.
Amen. Well, let me qualify that just a little bit. Just because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not necessarily mean that you're going to heaven. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and not have the fruit of Jesus in your life, 30, 60, and 100-fold, miss the boat completely. And there's a wonderful teaching that David has on that, and it's called Salvation Instant and Progressive. That's a real good one. Just because you have the, a lot of people think that your ticket is punched once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have to bear the fruit of Jesus in your life. And the only way to do that, that's that love that Andrew was talking about, is that love of that Jesus puts in you as you learn more and more about him. This walk we have is a progressive walk. It's not just a one-time.
Yes, man. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree. And it's using the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
So maybe I just don't express it right.
I think that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I got this fairly interesting verse. When I was overlooking some of the love verses, and it's in 1 John 3:1, and it's a pretty simple verse, but it's got two very important words here that are two-letter words, and I underlined also the word children in it. This is going to be from the numeric New Testament. Behold, what measure of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we, and that's the two-letter word, should be called children of God, and we are. So, you know, there's a child of God who might have 30-fold fruit there, who's one of these we's, but this we is also referring to the very apostle who's saying it. So this child is also a man-child too in this verse. And it would be a we for whatever portion of faith you have. So, you know, you're accounted righteous by faith. So faith is also increasing. You're in your month where there's life, springtime, summertime, or harvest time. You don't want to be in a place of winter. You want to be in a place of growth. So this we here is giving you more glory by how much fruit you have. And I just found it interesting just looking at this, because he said we both times, and the amount of what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. So what is he doing? Repeating himself there? I would say that there's something here with these two we's here, that that he's showing the equality that's in Christ, no matter where you are and how much fruit you have. But it's also a progressive thing from faith to faith. Like it says in Romans 1:16-17, and glory to glory, as we all love to look in that mirror verse there, and grace upon grace, because it's the grace upon grace, because of his fullness we all received, which is past tense. So there you have three increases there in your manifestation and life that the Lord gave you at the cross and resurrection. So, but I wanted to talk a little bit about these tongues where it says you can pray in tongues.
Hey, Andrew, we're out of time.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to address whether about the singing and the blessing in tongues. So
get that, and we'll take it up Tuesday night. Also, everybody study these gifts, and let's do a little bit more before we get back into God's vaccine.
You mean Thursday night instead of Tuesday night?
No, I don't know what day this is. What is this?
This is Thursday. Yeah, you're right. Tuesday night.
Okay. Okay. Look at what Stephen's got up there. I like it. Hebrews 6:4-6-8. That's a good one. Okay. Well, that's about all we got time for. Andrew, dismiss us with prayer, would you please, sir?
Father God, we thank you for coming together, this meeting we had together here, Lord, and we desire the spiritual gifts, Lord. We really desire to have a lot of love, though, and to be in love with each other and to be what you want us to be in the Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless us all with these spiritual gifts. To desire more in these spiritual gifts, to operate in them, and to show you glory, and to give you all the glory for them. In Jesus' name I pray. And also, Lord, that you would give us all a good night's sleep. Just like it says in your word, in one of the Proverbs there, that you're going to be with us in our sleep, and thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Let me get everybody unmuted here. So you say good night. Good night, y'all.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.